You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon. So the topic that I'm going to give today is the abundance of God's pardon. Abundance of God's pardon. And as we saw in scriptures, Psalm chapter 103, let me turn to Psalm 103 here. Psalm chapter 103 verse 12, it says here, As far the east is from the west, so he has removed our sins from us. So, as far as east from the west, God has removed our sins. What a wonderful scripture we have. And also Isaiah chapter 55 verse 7 says, Isaiah 55 7, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55 7. He will abundantly pardon. Now, what is the meaning of abundance? I think we don't need a Greek scholar or anybody to know what the meaning of abundance. The scriptural meaning of abundance here is overflowing. Overflowing. So here when we see the abundance of God's pardon, it means overflowing. God is overflowing in pardoning the sinners. Alright. The word pardon. What do you mean the word pardon? Okay. It's not when you cannot hear something, you ask somebody, pardon? Not that word. Okay. The word pardon here is that when you get offended, when you are hurt, when you are injured, when you are being insulted, when you do wrong something, and God release you from that penalty of punishment. So when God is offended, when he is insulted, when we do wrong on God, okay, we have sin against God, and God is not going to compromise the sins, and he is going to punish us for those sins, but in God's pardoning grace, he releases us from the penalty of that punishment. That is what is called pardon. He releases us from the penalty of punishment. You understand? So here we see the overflowing forgiveness of God's pardon. Now, how many of you here today have been offended by someone in your life? I believe everybody has been offended by somebody or many people during your life, right? Probably even last week too, maybe, or, you know, almost recently, or you get always offended by someone. When I say offended, it means that you got hurt by somebody. By saying something, you got hurt. Or by getting hurt, you got injured. Your soul got injured, or probably your flesh got injured, you know. It doesn't mean somebody has to go and beat you up, but when somebody says something, sometimes the saying is more bitterness than anything else. It hurts you. And you got insulted, or somebody did something wrong against you, and then you're offended. So what happened when somebody offends you? When somebody says something that is not right, somebody says something insulted you or something not right or whatever like that happens, what happens to you? You get mad. Basically saying, what you're saying is you're losing your patience here. Okay, so how many of you have got offended? Many of you have got offended many times. And how many times you have lost your patience? Just as many. So here we see we have got offended many times. And also many times we have lost our patience. And sometimes we, as Christians, we are not to lose our patience. We need to be impatient. Okay. But sometimes people do lose their patience. So what happens when you lose your patience now? You get angry. And what happens when you get angry? Now you're offended, you lose your patience, you get angry, then what? What? So you got to do something now. Now that means this person did something to me, now I will not be satisfied until something happens to this person. Is that the way you think? Right? Yeah. The best way you can do is, maybe I got to go and say something to that person. So here, now you say something to that person, then that person get, that's not what I'd say or whatever like that. Now that person make it offended and you got offended. Now we got a war going on here. You understand? Now you can see how relationships, problems happens, like husbands and wives they offend each other all the time. A lot of things are because misunderstanding, miscommunication, not really knowing what happened. Relationship, maybe children and parents get offended sometimes. Maybe your neighbors. Maybe at work people get hurt. And then people lose patience. Then there are problems happens. Right? Now, if that is the case, I'm trying to show you from a human perspective how this works. So from a human perspective, when we see when people get offended, there will be relationships broken, and there's always the result is going to be very bitter. So that's why humanity can always bring disaster. From a human perspective, it's not going to work. Even if you say, well, I was offended by somebody, but I'm not going to do anything to that person. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm a Christian. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And you're going to say, but if something happens to that person, we'll say, the car got into an accident. And you say, there you go. That's very good. He deserved it. She deserved it. Now you're happy. Now that's not right. Because you're sinning against God now. You understand? So a lot of people act that way because God looks at the heart and the motives. You really want to hit that person, punch that person, but you can do. You say, I'm a Christian, but God looks at the heart and say, even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, what God is saying, He looks at the heart and see what you're thinking, your motives are. He sees the sin before it happens. Now, we saw in human perspective how this is so, it's a very good subject and it is a dangerous one. Because if humanity takes control, we take control and it goes out of order. But let's see how God is. What about God? What if God is offended? What if God is offended? Then what happens? And here, if you tell, go to Numbers chapter 14. If you turn with me in the Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Chapter 14. Let's read from, let's see here. Let's read from verse 16. Numbers 14, starting from 16 to 19. And he says here, because the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore hath he slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according to thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord's slow to anger. Now there you go. We said, when we get offended, we lose our patience, we get angry. But here it says, the Lord is slow to anger, of great mercy, and forgiving iniquity and sin, and not making the wicked innocent, and visiting the wickedness of the fathers upon the children for the third and the fourth generation. Be merciful, I beseech thee, unto the iniquity of these people, according to thy great mercy, and as thou hast forgiven these people from Egypt, even until now. Just imagine these people, the children of Israel. They were slaves to Pharaoh. And slaves didn't, I mean, we are a slave, you don't get even paid, okay? They were slaves to Pharaoh, and they were under the bondage of slavery, but see, God redeemed them. God visited them and brought them out of slavery. With all the mighty power of Pharaoh came upon them, God overpowered Pharaoh's army, drowned them in the sea, and they were able to escape from the enemy's wrath. God delivered them, and God showed his power in a mighty way. But what did the people do? They kept on sinning. They were disobedient, sinful, they did not listen to the word of God, but God was still slow to anger. He was merciful towards them. He could have wiped them out right away if he wanted to, but he didn't. He was merciful, he was slow to anger, and the Lord, he was abundant in his pardon. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78, starting from verse 31. Psalm 78, starting from verse 31. When the wrath of God came even upon them, and slew the strongest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel, for all this they sinned still, and believed not his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years hastily. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and sought God early. When they remembered that God was their strength, and the Most High God their Redeemer, but they flattered him with their mouth, and disassembled with him with their tongue, for their heart was not upright with him, neither were they faithful in their covenant. Yet he, being merciful, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not, but oftentimes called back his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. Now, for us to understand this, if you have a friend that offends you, and then you went and forgave that person. Say, I got injured, I got hurt what you said, whatever happened, I am going to forgive you. But if that friend later on, after forgiving, comes back again and hurt you. That's what the children of Israel did. Okay? And God forgave them. They all consistently, they injured God, offended God. But here, God forgave their iniquity. God could have said, no. We could have said, you know what? I had once, twice, that's enough. I don't want you anymore. But God was not like that. He was merciful. He is merciful. Forgave all their iniquity. Destroy them not. Meaning, he did not destroy everybody. Okay? And also, oftentimes, he held back his anger, and he did not stir up his full wrath. See, you can see the mercies of God here. How about you? when you have offended God, and you know, if you say, well, I have hurt a person, if somebody hurts you, if somebody offends you, and you said you lose your patience, you get angry, how about you offending God? If God lost his patience right away and showed his anger upon you, what would have happened to you? He could have smoked you. He could have killed you right away and brought you into judgment. But God is merciful that even right now you are taking your next breath is because of the grace of God and the mercies of God. And here we see he has the abundance of sins he has pardoned. And God, his pardon, when he pardons, it's a divine pardon. If you turn with me to Psalm 130, verse 3. Psalm chapter 130, verse 3. 130, verse 3 says, if thou, O Lord, straightly markest iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? It means that if God keeps a record of your sins, what you do, can you stand before him? Of all the sins what you have committed against him. So Psalm is saying, oh God, if you keep a record of our sins since the day I have been born, who could stand before you? Nobody. Nobody can stand before God. So God is awesome. He is a forgiving God. He is a pardoning God. Isaiah chapter 43, starting from verse 24. Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 24 says, thou broughtest me no sweet savour with money, neither hast thou made me drunk with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins and wearied me with thy iniquities. I even am that putteth away the iniquities for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Wow. God is saying, he is the Lord. He is the Lord. For his sake, he will remove the sins, iniquities in us. For his sake. And he will not remember it anymore. Wow. God is great. He's a God. Just imagine, if somebody offended you, then you may even forgive that person. But can you forget what happened? You will still remember what that person did to you. You know? But God doesn't remember your sins anymore. That's the God we have. That is his overflowing forgiveness. Overflowing forgiveness. Just imagine just sins that we have committed, huh? What about the sins of thoughts? The sins that you have spoken through the word? Or the sins that you have done? Sins of deeds? What about the sins, you know, we know the sins that we talk, mostly. Sins, you know, the words that we talk are sinful to God sometimes. And the things in action, what we do, we know. What about the sins of thoughts that we often, we don't see that. It's a hidden sin. Sins are thoughts, like rebellious thoughts that comes to your mind. How about that? How about the proud thoughts that comes to your mind? How about the blasphemous thoughts that comes to your mind? How about the covetous thoughts? Huh? You don't have to do a covetous act. The thought itself is a sin against God. How about the lustful thoughts? How about the cruel thoughts? How about the thoughts that are impatient thoughts? That she says, I want to do it right now. I want this prayer answered now. And say, God, why are you not answering? Impatient thoughts. How about the false thoughts that you already have come to your conclusion that this person is not good or whatever like that, and, you know, false thoughts. We are not really sure. How about the thoughts, these thoughts, when it comes into words, you know, then it becomes full grown, it becomes words. Then the words get into action. So, if you only take your thoughts and you have sinned against God, wow, God is very good, isn't He? He's a pardoning God. God is a pardoning God. Now, how does He pardon? Well, that's the crux of the issue. How does He pardon? Who does the pardoning? It is only through the atonement of His Son, Jesus Christ. Is He only through the atonement of His Son, through Jesus Christ? Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, and it says here, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. So without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. God cannot pardon anybody without the blood sacrifice. That's why in the Old Testament there were animal sacrifices and there were blood sacrifices. But those were only shadows. But the reality is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is where we have the atonement, that Christ came. He took the punishment on your behalf. That means all the sins that I have even told you right now. The sins of thoughts itself is a great sin. And the sins of what you say and the sins of actions, what you have done. Everything from the very beginning, since you were born, and also the inherited sin. Okay? We should not forget that. That we were born sinners through Adam. Okay? So, Jesus took all that. Not only your sins, but the people who are redeemed, who are elected, Jesus took all those people's sins upon Himself. And now, He is the Holy One of God. He is the most holy Son of God. He took our sins upon Himself. And He became the sinner. And God looked at His Son and saw the sin, our sins. Then what did God do? He poured His wrath upon His Son. And that's the only way. Then Jesus Christ, in His holiness, in His righteousness, when He saw the believing sinner falling at the feet of the cross and saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. His righteousness, His holiness is charged to us. Now we are cleansed, not by any hard work that we do. And say, well, some people say, well, you know what? I think I go to heaven because I have done some good work, so that will outweigh my bad things. It's like having a weighing scale. The good works will outweigh my bad, so God will look at it and say, you know what, you have done 75% good, 25% bad. Well, that's not bad, you are passed. God doesn't work that way. Just 1% is bad enough, you cannot go to heaven, because God will not even tolerate a single tiny sin in heaven, because He's an infinitely holy God. So, here we see that we have sinned against God. Jesus, His righteousness, His holiness is imputed to us now, being charged to us. And now, we don't go to heaven because of our hard work, what we have done. Now we go to heaven because of penance. You know, some people, they have penance. Penance, the word penance comes from the word pain. What they do is they hurt their bodies because they know that they have sinned against God. So they chain themselves, or they try to burn their bodies or hurt their bodies. Or some people in the Philippines, I know, they even crucify themselves to show God, hear God, I'm doing all these things for you because I have sinned, I'm a sinner, I'm doing this for you, so you look at me, I have done all these penance, painful things. No, no, no. Jesus did that for you. You don't have to do that. Jesus did it for you. If we do that, then Jesus doesn't have to come to this world. then you can go to heaven on your own penance. Now we go to heaven through purgatory. Okay? Everything is this side of the grave. Okay? Everything is this side of the grave. Purgatory means some people say, well, we can pray for those people who are in a neutral place now. Maybe our prayers will save them. No, everything is this side of the grave. Okay? It's before the grave. So, it is only by trusting in Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Only through Christ Jesus. So there is a, just like there is a natural connection between a doctor and a patient. There's a natural connection between the doctor and a patient. So also there's a connection between our Savior and the sinner. So God is not a God who will forgive today and condemn tomorrow. Because the Bible says when you trust in the Lord and when you fall at His feet and you repent and believe in Him, you have what? Eternal life. So if God, then you say, alright, I'm a Christian now, I have eternal life. Okay? Then, after 1 week, you fell into a sin. Now, what happened to eternal life? If God is going to condemn you, no more eternal life. Eternal life means what? Eternal life. It's not temporal life. It doesn't say that okay, I'm going to save you, but strings attached here now. God didn't have any strings attached. But if you do sin tomorrow or after 1 week or later on, you have no hope. I'm going to condemn you. It doesn't say that. Eternal life is everlasting life. Now that's the greatest thing that we have in Christianity. Not in any other religion. In Christianity. That means God covers our sins. He forgives our sins. The past, the present, and the future. It's the greatest thing we have in God. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Romans chapter 8 1 says, now, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If Christ Jesus is in you, there is no condemnation. Now, we had to remember that we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin. Now, God brought freedom for us. We were, you know, our sin were reigning in us. But now, that power of sin is broken. Now, God is reigning in us. If we do sin, it hurts us. And it really hurts us. And the greatest, you know, let me ask you something. And there are some people doesn't want to come to God because they think they have no sin. So they think, well, why should I come to God? Because I'm good. And some people say, well, maybe I got little sins. Not much. I'm not that bad. It's okay. So less sins or little sins. So they think, I don't really need God's mercy and grace because I'm pretty good, you know. But the greatest, a person who realized that he has sinned against God abundantly, overflowing he has sinned, and he has made a cry, all the sins he realized is a sin against a holy God, and he's the one who realized, man, I need God's mercy. Man, I'm a terrible sinner. I'm a wicked sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I need help. As a person that God is merciful and pardoning grace is there. That's where we, as Christians, we see God is infinitely holy. Even a little tiniest sin is against a crime against God. So, it's like what sparks, what makes, you have seen the, fires, you know, acres and acres of land, the brush fires. Sometimes thousands and thousands of acres are burning. What? My question is, what makes this fire is just a spark of a fire. Just a little spark makes acres and acres burn. In the same way, the smallest sin is a great crime, great sin against a great holy God. Now, Jesus is the grand attraction for the guilty sinners. Jesus is the attraction for the guilty sinners. And Jesus will not become the attraction for who are guilty. I mean, who thinks that they are not guilty. That's why even when I was witnessing to some people yesterday, they didn't feel that they are guilty. They didn't feel that they have done a crime against God. So Jesus doesn't become an attraction to them. But only to the sinners, guilty sinners, Jesus becomes an attraction. That's why during the time of Jesus, who came to him? The people who realize who has sinned against God, the adulterers, the tax collectors, the murderers, the thieves, they are the one who prostitutes. They are the one who saw that they have done a crime against God. They are the one who came to Jesus because Jesus attracted them because he is the Savior. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious Jewish leaders, they were not attracted to Jesus because they thought they were good. They were doing their laws or works to go to heaven. Jesus is the fountain filled with Emmanuel's blood that sinners can plunge into that fountain and be forgiven of sins. Now, let me ask you something. If we have a little Savior and he can save only little sins and he can pardon only few sins, little sins, and if we have a Savior, that means if we have a Savior, well, what I mean was if you have a little Savior, it means that a Savior who have done just little things, then he can only pardon little, just a few sins. But if we have a Savior who did just a little sacrifice for us, only a small sacrifice, he didn't die for our sins or anything like that, but he did a small sacrifice, then only a little portion of our sins can be forgiven. But we have a Savior who sacrificed his life. God himself came down to earth as a man and he was crushed. He was beaten and he poured out his soul and he was beaten and out of that came blood that forgave us. So we have a Savior who is able to save the uttermost that comes to him. Hebrews chapter 7:25. God can save he is able to save the uttermost that comes to him. That means the greatest sinner who have done the most filthiest, dirtiest, wicked sins, Jesus' blood is sufficient to forgive all his sins, meaning the past, the present, and the future. After this life, no more mercy. There's no more mercy after this life. There's no more grace after this life. Instead of the mercy seat is gone after this life. Instead of that, there will be the judgment seat waiting. So it's all before the grave. Here is the time. Today is the day that salvation. If you hear this voice today, do not harden your voice. Turn to Jesus. Because salvation is before the grave. It's not after the grave. It's not through your penance. It's not through your hard work that you can do to God. Jesus did the hard work. And we come to God only through coming to God by believing what he has done for you and repenting of our sins. That means repenting means we are sorrow for what we did, what we have done towards God. We are sorrowful and asking, God, please, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. And then turn to Jesus. That is true repenting. Not confessing all the times, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me, but there are people who can keep on confessing but never repenting. So, if you hear His voice today, do not harden your hearts. Turn to Jesus. But still, I cannot do anything to save anybody. You know, I wish I can tell you to do some things that so you can be saved, but I can't. It's only the Holy Spirit can do the work of the repentance. So only the Holy Spirit, just like in the book of Genesis, it says in the beginning there was darkness hovering over the earth. It was God who said, let there be light, and there was light. Just like Lydia, it was God who opened the heart of the woman, Lydia. So in the same way, it was God who saved Apostle Paul, who was continually rebellious against God. Okay? So, only the power of the Holy Spirit can do the work. But, we are called to preach the gospel and preach repentance. And that's what we are doing. And if you truly believed in the Lord Jesus, if you realize that you have sinned against Almighty, All-Powerful God, and I pray and ask that you will fall at His feet and that you will repent of your sins and turn to Christ. Amen. This is Pastor Nick, and we hope today's sermon was a blessing to your soul. If you are blessed spiritually by this ministry, please pray for us as we provide free Christian booklets for prisoners all over the United States. Also, we provide free booklets and audio CDs all over the world for God's glory. Our mailing address is Agape Chapel Ministries, P.O. Box 59084, Norwalk, California 90652. We truly covet your prayers, and until we meet again, may the Lord richly bless your soul with the richness of His word.
Precious name, all else free, hope above.